As we come back to church this weekend, having just celebrated the birthday of Jesus, the celebration is continuing as Emmanuel, God with us, remains. And the wonderful gift that that is for you and for me, to have God with us and for us to be with him. While this joy-filled mystery continues, the church is not afraid on this Sunday, so close to Christmas, to highlight the sorrows and even the difficulties of Emmanuel. And having God with us is difficult. It's exactly what we see in this gospel today, as this holy family goes now into Egypt. This is one of the great sorrows of Mary. And while it may seem strange to highlight a sorrow in this joy-filled season, it makes this season all the more real. And it highlights what it is that we're celebrating. As beautiful as this scene is, if it becomes just a poetic scene, if it keeps us in Bethlehem forever, there's a problem. Because Bethlehem is meant to bring us further into a maturity, further into our Christian lives. And we see that happening in the life of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph today, in this difficulty. We know, because Jesus was born into time, he is part of history. And we know what the times of Jesus' birth were like. Historians tell us that Herod was the king and governor of Judea. He was at the tail end of his career when Jesus was born. He had served his duty pretty well, placating the Romans and keeping a time of peace. But after his 40-plus year reign, toward the end, he became a very fearful man, very suspicious. You might say he had some trust issues. And it was reflected in what he did to his own family. He basically had them all killed. He killed his wife, his mother-in-law, his oldest son, and his two other sons. Kind of reminds me of the guy out of Korea. There was an expression that it was safer to be Herod's pig than it was to be his son. And this was the time in which Jesus was born. And so this message of the angel to Joseph, to flee, that's not just a poetic device that's like inserted into this season. This was the very reality that Jesus was born into. And as we know, Herod had all of those boys, all those boy babies killed. Some think there were about 20. And so the odds of Jesus being among that 20 were great. Joseph, go, take Mary and your son to Egypt. And he did. And that journey into Egypt demanded something of this new family. We know that from Bethlehem into Egypt, several hundred miles, it would be anywhere between 10 and 14 days of travel. Remember, that is a foreign land, foreign language and routine. Not to mention, they're carrying God. On top of that, we can absolutely say that Mary and Joseph were refugees, fleeing from something of danger. They can identify very well, and we ought to identify the Holy Family very well, with all the refugees today, all the families fleeing from broken governments and war and danger. This is what we remember this Sunday after Christmas. And through it all, What is highlighted? I believe two things. Number one, the family. And number two, obedient faith. We know that the family is the absolute building block, the skeleton of a society. Where there are strong families, there are strong neighborhoods, strong communities, strong governments, strong countries. And wherever a family is weak or broken or divided, that's reflected in the neighborhoods, in the communities, in the government, in the countries. And while there's no perfect family, I think often enough we can easily just write the family off. We can, in so many ways, put it down. And you and I are called as Christians, knowing God became part of a human family, we are called to raise it up, to always have hope in the family, and to respect it. For as crazy as Uncle Bill might be, or Aunt Sally, for as difficult as the mother-in-law or the kid, if you erase one member of your family, it could very well be that you are erasing yourself. It's true. If Uncle Bill didn't exist, maybe my dad wouldn't be born. And therefore, I wouldn't be born. How sacred, how mysterious, absolutely. How difficult, and yet how essential the family is. And looking twice at it, respecting it, is so important. Important not just for our own family, but the entire human family, of which God is now a part. And as baptized people, God's family. When God looks upon us, when he looks upon the world, he sees his family, his sons, his daughters, men and women who are made members of his family, made brothers and sisters with his own eternal son, Jesus. Which is why the second reading today is of great interest. It's years away from Bethlehem. It has nothing to do with this scene. And yet Paul's words to the Colossians become the blueprint. They remain the characteristics of what God's family is meant to look like, how we are meant to love, how we are meant to be. And he tells the Colossians to put on Christ, to allow God's word to dwell within them richly, with patience and kindness, heartfelt compassion and forgiveness. And in doing this, day by day, in doing this faithfully, we become more of God's family. Not just by words, but in reality. This is how Mary and Joseph grew, and they did. This is how we grow in likeness to them and to God. And today, just days after Christmas, make no mistake, we are supposed to be growing. Growing, not away from the stable, but certainly in maturity. They spent very little time there. And as heartbreaking as that is, as much as we would like to stay there, we know that God comes not to stay, but to bring us to a newer place, to a fuller place, into his kingdom. And today, we remember that. Let us thank God for becoming a member of our family. And he is. And aware of that, and the dignity that that gives, let us be unafraid to become more like him. Your homework this week, Colossians 3.